A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford. Where you been? Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at the Blues and AFL news and we look back at the game against the Budgies and preview the upcoming massive game against the Cats tonight. Special guest interview is with ex-Carlton star Brock McLean. We cross live to the Hype and David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, welcome back.
No worries, good to be back.
But we need to thank our loyal sponsors.
Yeah, look, we definitely do. We couldn't do the show without them. So we'd like to thank WA Blues, major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers in Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and our good mate Alton from Carlton at ICU Finance Group.
Well done, Craig. But first, Mel, we need to give a very special shout-out to a very special Carlton Blue Bagger.
Yes. We do, and it's a little mate of mine. Her name is Jacqueline, and Jacqueline and her dad, Steve, come along to all our WA Blues functions, and Jacqueline was lucky enough to be down doing the banner with me last week, and she's a little champion. So, morning, Jacqueline. I know you're listening. So,
good morning, Jacqueline.
And go Blues.
Go Blues, Jacqueline.
Anyway, thank you for that. All right, now, while you're hot, Craig, let's go in. Hey. And because we missed you last week, and look, we were so apologetic and we were trying to look after you all last week.
I'd like to say something, but I'm not. I'm on air and I won't. I'll refrain from that.
Okay. Well, when has that stopped you?
A long time.
Let's go into Blues news.
Okay, anyway. Look, it's great to see the Blue Baggers get behind us, Blue Boys, in far as membership goes. I noticed during the week that we've got, I think it was around about 87,300, roughly, members. So that's
unreal.
That's fantastic.
That puts us in second position of total memberships. We're only second to Richmond at the moment.
I know. And it looks like they're still taking memberships with the offer at the moment, with the buy one for next year and get the last three home games this year for free.
Brownie, didn't you say? I thought it closed off at 30th of June.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got my cousin signed up for and my sister and her boyfriend for and my
didn't
other
you
family
get more
last
family?
Week. Yeah, I got the whole family signed up last week.
Good job.
Yep.
Mate, we might have another job for you. We might have to put you on the membership recruitment.
Yeah, get me on. I think I got a West Coast supporter to spot. He's got to buy a membership next year, fully converted. So good on you, Joe.
They're easy to convert at the moment.
Yeah, they are. It's good.
Yeah, look, I'd just like to start the Blues News with a few thank yous from last week.
That's okay. Thanks, mate.
I wasn't going to put you in there, actually, or you. A big thank you to Vince for his help during last Sunday during the functions and the auctions at the Camfield. Look, he's always very handy to have there. He's a very passionate Blue Bagger, so it was good to have his help. Also, a big thank you to Brian Cook and Ash Hansen, who gave up their time to speak before the game. A big thank you also for Luke Sayers. He made an appearance getting around, introducing himself, so it was good for those guys to find the time to come and see what us WA Blues do and how big a following they do have over here. So it's great to see that. Also, a real big thank you to Richard Dennis for making an appearance, helping to draw the raffle. He was good to see.
Yes,
him.
Rocky, we need to give you a shout out, mate.
Yeah,
I know. You said I'll get there, but we're starting to panic. But thank you for getting there.
Hey, he got appreciate there, and look, he presented the raffle winner with the 1987 framed jumper. So it was good that he could get there.
Hey, I'll tell you what else was good. Was the good to see Rossi Ditchburn and Brad Shine.
Yes,
also in the room,
that was good. Yes, so good.
And of course our great mate.
Let me, Peter Bazasto.
The buzz. We stole his thunder, sorry.
I was getting there, but anyway. I'll cross that off my list. Brian I don't have to worry about saying that.
Brian Cook's a very approachable. He was so good to talk to, and he was, like, talking it up about how good like the WA Blues function was and stuff. So
even Luke Sayers, I had a chat to Luke and he was like, oh my gosh, look at this turnout. You guys are doing an amazing job. So, you know, go us.
Feels like a big family down at Carlton.
Just touching on Buzz, we had the function a few months for him ago. I thought this time he looked a lot healthier. Looked like he'd put a bit of weight on and he seemed a lot more clearer and
an update for the listeners. His platelet counts and everything are doing really well and they're best that they've been. He's still got another couple of rounds of radiotherapy to go, but he's got his last round of chemo, so he's feeling really positive and he actually thanks everyone for their support.
Yeah, a lot of money was raised as well through the auctions, which was great to see.
Another thing which was good to see was a really good touching moment between Doc Cripper and the young what's his name?
I don't know. You're meant to be
young Noah. Sorry, yeah, young Noah who's been going through chemo. Doc and Cripper have been sending video chats to him, and look. I didn't realise it till I seen it on the Carlton webpage, but they actually presented it. Had him down on the ground with his brother.
Yeah.
Ran through the banner, presented him jumpers. For anyone out there that thinks footballers are just footballers, they want to stop and have a look what they do.
Football
for
clubs do that very well.
I know my ex used to always rave on football players get paid way too much money, blah blah blah. But when you see them do things like this,
it's more than a game.
It actually just watching that little kid. Actually, it brought a tear to my eye because I've got two grandkids, and it's very touching that to see that, you know, especially two players like Cripper and Doc doing that. So heads off to them, and it was fantastic to see.
I actually know the girl who got that ball rolling for over Twitter to get them onto the field. So Jasmine, if you're listening out there, good on you.
Well done, Jasmine. It was great to see Charlie kick five goals and get back on top of the Coleman. I won't get too much into your thunder, Jesse, but
we only
needed two players last week because Charlie and Harry both outscored West Coast.
Five each,
more than what they did. Big game tonight with the Battle of the Konings, so this is going to be an interesting one. Hopefully our Tom comes out on top.
The Billy Smets Cup, isn't it?
They might rename it the Koning Cup.
But do you know what? It's actually funny when you actually look into that a little bit more. There's actually pictures of Sam with a Carlton scarf around. He's in the rooms when he was supporting.
I wasn't going to say that, but I actually did see that. And the actual parents are in Bali watching, so they probably picked a safe place to watch it. So, team selections. Out of the side goes Josh Honey. Now, I've bagged this guy. And I don't think he deserves to go out, and that is Lachie O'Brien.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
I told you I had a surprise for you today.
My. That is a surprise.
I can't understand why he's out. But into the side comes Liam Stocker, for you, Jesse.
Very happy with that.
And Will Hayes will start the game instead of being a medical sub. Emergencies are Sam Durden, Josh Honey, Lachie O'Brien, and Will Setterfield. As I said,
he's a bit stiff, wasn't he, O'Brien?
Yeah.
I think maybe his form probably hasn't been absolutely at the top of what it has been during some courses of the year, but maybe they're thinking because whilst Hayes is hot, he's been hot in the VFL.
I've seen him play a lot worse and be stuck in the side.
Yeah, definitely.
I've seen him play. I know I've had to eat my words over the last few weeks. He's playing really good footy, and I just don't see why he's out.
It was definitely a surprise. Maybe weather with the. Probably be a little bit more contested this tonight, possibly. I don't know.
Okay.
More?
Injuries.
Okay.
Well, long.
You got something to say?
They're long.
No, I'm just going to make sure you cover it, and if you don't, I'll pull you up at the end.
What's new? Injuries, as we know, Jordan Boyd, he's gone for the year. David Cunningham, they're saying that the plan for him is always the back end of the year. So apparently he's tracking okay. Caleb Marchbank, they look at maybe the next fortnight, so that's good news for us with him. Jack Martin still hasn't been able to increase his workload. So
I've got
major
concerns for him.
Yeah, they're going to reassess him next week, see how he is. Oscar McDonald, again, year. Mitch McGovern is due to play in the VFL this week.
Today, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Matt Owies still looks like being another 2 weeks away at this stage. Luke Parks, we know, is the season. Sam Phillip, pretty much the year as well. Pitonet is also earmarked to play today as well.
Yep. And McGovern.
Yep. I like how they haven't rushed them two back.
I said McGovern.
I like how they haven't rushed them two back. They've just put them through the VFL, shows good signs at our footy club.
Yeah, agree with that.
Yeah, and Zach Williams, he's tracking as planned, so we'll see how he goes.
How far off is he then? Must be a couple of weeks at least.
They reckon that probably another three.
Round 19 maybe, over at 20?
Roughly, yeah. Also, it was great to see Bryce Gibbs back at Carlton during the week.
He's a hero.
Notice him when he chats, it's we.
Yeah.
Like, he's still passionate. You can tell he's still a passionate
Carlton
man.
He's a Carlton man, definitely.
Yeah, so he said it was great to get back and catch up with all the guys. So
had glowing reviews about the facilities, too.
That's what he was talking about, Icon. Yeah,
he was just saying how fantastic they are and how he wished he was coming through now. Yeah. So, and I'll just quickly touch on the Carlton reserves. They got done last week, 14-6-90 to 14-9-93, so...
I think they were down by like 30 points or something.
35 points at the last
But they come back all right, so.
But did everyone see Ed out there? And
Ed Curno?
Yep. Ed Curno, he had 19 disposals, so I'm hoping.
He won't play in the seniors this year, unfortunately.
I don't think he will either.
No. Jesse, stop the negativity, please.
It's being positive. It's being positive. If we want to move forward and win premierships as a club, sometimes we've got to make the hard calls.
And who's he going to take out?
No one spot, unfortunately.
It's unfortunate.
He will get a farewell game. He will.
We're not about that anymore.
We're not about that, and it better not be against Collingwood the last game of the year.
Yeah. No. We're about winning flags.
So you're done and dusted?
I'm done and dusted.
Beautiful. Mel, we need to go on an AFL and AFLW if there's any going about.
Well, this is kind of a bit of Blues news, and it's a little bit of a touchy one. Sensitive topic, but it's about... Liam Jones and the vaccination.
Who cares?
Yeah, move on.
No, but it's not. It's not who cares, because we can actually really benefit from this with the compensation if he actually does get drafted to someone else, if he does get, like, if he signs with someone else.
Depends how much and how long the contract
exactly.
is.
Like we said before, they'll probably use that pick, that compensation pick, to go to Adelaide and get someone like Lockie Shulp, former son of Bradshaw.
Jesse's got it all worked out.
Yep. I think that's what will happen.
Yep.
So that's and it's gonna, like, I mean, he was, there's only one, like,
we should be thanking him. He got us Lewis Young.
He did.
So thank you, Jonesy. Thank you.
Wouldn't it be ironic if he ended up back at the Bulldogs?
I think that's a great idea. Well, there is full circle.
Bulldogs are interested in him. Yeah.
He's had talks with the Bulldogs.
So he left the Bulldogs. He comes to us. We actually teach him how to play football. Then he goes back. To the
and then he's also spoken with Adrian Dodoro.
I shouldn't say that, but I
agree with you. Anyway, keep going, though.
And another thing, I know you guys will go, what are we talking about? But Buddy Franklin, contract at Sydney. He's out of contract at the end of the year.
Goodbye, Buddy.
Apparently Buddy wants between $700,000 and $800,000. Sydney apparently are only willing to pay $500,000,
which is all he's worth.
But what's really interesting is that his wife Jacinta is now actually a player agent, and she thinks he's got a backup plan in place. She's come out and made a statement
he
to say
he has. He doesn't need the money; he can retire.
Yeah,
but he wants to play on.
Good luck.
He wants to play on. And a bit of sad news is Willie Rioli Sr. passing at the age of 50. Up in the Northern Territory. He was coaching currently the Tiwi Island Football Club. So that's some sad news.
Another bit of sad news. Paul Deere played at Hawthorn.
Passed away during
the week.
That was touching when they were on 360, wasn't it?
52 years of age. Oh, my God. Pancreatic cancer. So. Yeah.
And what you guys forgot about? Family. You forgot
there
something.
There is a big one.
Yes, there is.
Go, Mel.
Sorry, I was actually just going to say, you know, I'm big on my birthdays. Happy 67th birthday to Mark McClure.
Okay,
Now, there's something both of them are missed.
They've forgotten.
You haven't done your homework. Craig had done his homework.
Go, mate.
I know he's
Tom Williamson has signed on with North Melbourne in the reserves. So yes. After 2 weeks after departing the club, with whatever issues it was, he's now signed on 2 weeks later for North Melbourne. So
it's amazing. I can't believe that.
I can't believe it.
The way it was built up was like, I need a break from football.
Yeah, he's retiring.
I'm retiring. 2 weeks later, he's signed up to play in the seconds for North.
It's got
to,
yeah. And well, that's why, you know, I
now
didn't
the good
bring
part,
it up
Jesse,
because.
Up to you.
Now, Jesse, let's cross over for that great review.
Yep. It will have to be a quick one, I think.
It has to be a quick one. Mate.
Well, we asked for a response last week, and we definitely got an emphatic one with a 63-point win over West Coast here in the West. It was one of the more enjoyable days of football I've been to in a long, long time. That first quarter blitzing, 36-0, over 80 points to zero scored in a half of footy, really. I think there was a stat saying Eagles have only had one scoreless quarter in Perth once in their history, and we did it twice in one game. So that was fantastic. I love that. I love it. The midfield were on top all day. 18 centre clearances to 9, 46 for the day. Our small forwards really got to work. 14 tackles inside the forward 50.
You know
that's
the best?
Pressure.
Sorry to jump in and just, no, that's but you know what the best thing was in that whole game? It was the 10-minute mark of the last quarter when the stands were starting to empty.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was a fire.
Maybe they needed to get home early. I'm not sure.
Maybe they didn't like us singing the song too.
Yeah,
we were already singing the song.
Oh, that was brutal.
And then obviously
beautiful.
We've touched on Charlie and Harry.
Just call them Harley.
Harley.
Yeah, just Harleys. So they were brilliant. I think we took 18 marks inside our forward 50. So you're going to get a lot of shots and a lot of scoring opportunity. Defensively, we were very sound. I think West Coast only had 15 shots for the day from 34 entries.
Except that second quarter was pretty ordinary.
Yeah, but they had some weird sort of goal, like that one from Willy Wirolu, that mark which was the best part of 8 metres. And then I just love to touch on how good for the WA Blues and all the WA crowd to get behind the woof.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yes, to hear the woof. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry we've had to...
No, that's all right.
We really need... Quickly. But what we'll do is we'll do... Talk a lot more. Of discussion when we got the high.
Yeah, we got Geelong tonight anyhow. Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway, time to go now for a break and a few words on our sponsors. But when we return, we cross live to ex-Carlton champ, Brock McLean, Go Blues. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old Dark Blues. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to former Blues star Brock McLean. Good morning, Brock, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, gents. Thanks for having me on again.
Mate, it's good to have you back, buddy. Mate, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, can you just let the listeners know, what are you up to these days?
Well, I just heard your off-air conversation. It's quite apt for what I'm going through at the moment. I'm actually missing footy today because my partner and I, we're 40 weeks on Monday, and we're expecting to pop any day now. So I'm going to be a father of two girls under 19 months very soon. So outside of those duties as a father, I'm working for a startup in the psychedelic industry called Enosis Therapeutics.
Come on, Craig.
Yeah, oh, sorry, Brock. Sorry, we're just a bit confused how you heard our conversation about having babies. But it must have been on the telephone.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hey, listen, mate, sorry. In 2009, you were traded to Carlton from Melbourne. Was the lure of being the fourth member of your family to play at Carlton one of the major reasons for coming to the Blues?
Oh, look, I'll be honest. It didn't even cross my mind. I mean, I'd had a bit of sort of up and down 3 years, you know, injury-wise, and, you know, the club had been sort of struggling on and off the field, and I felt I was just really unhappy, and I felt like my unhappiness stemmed from, I guess, my environment, so, you know, Carlton wasn't even sort of on my radar when I asked my manager just to explore a trade. It was just, you know, they were one of the first clubs that came, and so that was just a nice little added bonus that, you know, obviously, Pop played there and Ricky played there. And then, you know, lucky enough for me, I got to wear number 14, you know, from my second year onwards. So that was a really nice, you know, really nice moment, something, you know, that I'll be able to hold close to my heart for the rest of my life.
It's funny you mentioned that, because my next question to you was that you started wearing the number 7. What, and it was just going to ask, what did it mean changing to number 14, and as it was worn by three of your family members before you?
Yeah, look, it was just an opportunity that came up, and you know, obviously, you never wish any player to get you know, to leave the club or you know, to get delisted. But you know, Brad Fisher left the footy club, and it opened up, you know, number 14, and you know, I felt I needed a change of number as well, given my first year at Carlton, which just went completely not to plan. I missed so many games through injury, and ended up having, I think, a couple of surgeries throughout the year. So you know, I felt like the fresh start couldn't have gone any worse, and I was, you know, more hopeful rather than confident that a change of number might have helped change my fortunes.
Good morning, Brock. It's Mel here. I just want to ask, what would you say is your AFL career highlight or most significant memory of your playing days?
Look, it has to be the 06 elimination final when I was playing for Melbourne against St Kilda. I mean, it was probably my best game ever as a player, and probably one of the most memorable wins, you know, for me, given the circumstances. It was a final. The previous 2 years we'd been knocked out in two elimination finals, my performance personally was pretty ordinary in both of those games. As someone who prided myself on playing well in big games, you know, I think we were three goals down with maybe 10 minutes to go, and managed to you know, win by a couple of goals in the end. And I just remember the feeling after the game, and you know, I was a 20-year-old, and you know, it capped off a pretty good year for me. So that would have to be the standout for me.
Morning, Brock. We've seen someone like George Hewitt be a welcome addition to the club this year. How long does it take to find that continuity with new teammates when moving across to different clubs?
Yeah, look, it takes a little bit of time. I mean, training's one thing. You can train as much as you want together and go through pre-season and go through practice matches, but you know, until you actually get out there in the real stuff and you learn how, you know, each player plays, and you learn, I guess, your position in the team and learn where you sort of fit in the team. You know, for me, it took a little bit of time to adjust to that. So, obviously, training gives you the opportunity, you know, to learn about those players and learn, you know, how they move, and, you know, what their strengths are and where you might be able to complement them. But, you know, it takes at least a handful of games to, you know, to really nail down that cohesion, you know, and fitting into a new midfield.
Brock, look, Carlton have made some big changes over the summer with new coaching staff, changes to the board. How have you seen these changes?
Well, obviously they've worked really well, given the, you know, sort of the form of the club, and it's no surprise. I mean, that you know, sometimes that, you know, a coach might interview really well, but they end up might not just being, you know, the right fit, you know, for the playing group. And, you know, I think, you know, I was asked, you know, quite a few times about Michael Voss by a lot of mates who are Carlton supporters. And I always felt that, you know, given his second time around and, you know, what he would have learned from his first coaching gig at Brisbane and then working under Ken Hinckley, and what he's been able to demand, you know, from the players, I think that's probably been the big difference, you know, from what I've seen in the way that Carlton are playing. We know Michael Voss is probably one of the most competitive and greatest midfielders of all time, and there was never any doubt that he was going to demand that from his players. And having played that way and seeing how he's demanding of these players, it's no surprise that they're wanting to live up to those demands. And it's clearly evident, you know, from the games that I've seen this year. So I think, you know, the board's been, you know, a new board can obviously bring in a new, fresh perspective, new set of eyes, and just a breath of fresh air around a footy club. And, you know, I saw what that was like, you know, in Melbourne when they brought in a new board in 07 and 08. And while it didn't result in good results on field, off field, you know, we were able to pay down a significant chunk of debt and bring in a breath of fresh air to the place. So it feels like, you know, that's working on and off the field at Carlton this year.
Obviously, a lot of people have been talking about the impact Voss has had at the club so far and on the group so far this year, but how important is having those good assistants to relay the message from top down to bottom?
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the time that you spend as a player during the week is with your line coaches or the development coaches, yeah, depending on where you're at in your career. So being able to have good assistants under you that you're able to delegate and trust fully, that they can go and work, you know, with those individual players who are part of their broader line groups, and really, you know, help with their development, help with feedback, you know, let them know where they sort of stand within the playing group and within the, you know, the broader football club sense. So, you know, it's not just reliant on one person. You know, it's exactly the same as, I guess, the team sort of aspect, but it's, you know, from a coaching perspective. So having good line coaches who can help take the pressure and the demands off the head coach is absolutely vital to the success of a footy club.
Brock, back in 2019, you opened up about your mental health struggles following your AFL career. I understand that the AFL Players Association supported you when you reached out to them, and they're still supporting you to this day. Do you think there's enough support for players after they finish playing footy?
Yeah, look, it's. I think, you know, I reckon there's a bit of a misconception out there, or there's a bit of simplistic thinking in saying, you know, when players leave the game, the AFLPA, you know, need to do more. But at the end of the day, you can have all the resources in the world at your fingertips, but if you're not willing to sort of help yourself or reach out and ask for help or ask for assistance, then all of those resources mean nothing. And, you know, if I reflect on my, you know, situation and my struggles, you know, I've got, you know, yes, I can practice empathy and compassion, and I can, you know, forgive myself for a lot of those things that I did. But at the end of the day, I was responsible for a lot of my action, or all of my actions. And regardless of how well or unwell I was, I chose to go down the path that I did, and to use drugs and alcohol to cope, you know, with my mental health issues. And I've got no one to blame but myself for that. So at the end of the day, yeah, the PA is there to help, you know, to be a beacon. And to be a really strong support for players, especially when they leave the game. But if you're not willing to reach out or ask for help, or put your hand up and admit that you need help, then the AFLPA can't really do anything.
And moving on from that, like, to my understanding, the AFL are really trying to make some changes in the way that they're dealing with players and mental health issues. Like, earlier this year, our own Liam Stocker came out publicly about his struggles and shared with his own, like, his battles. But in your experience, do you have any other suggestions and how they can try and prevent, manage or increase awareness to players' mental health?
Look, I think it's a difficult one, right? Because the demands on players have never been greater, and the scrutiny on players, I feel, has never been greater. And if you look at sort of the broader context of the football system, you know, you've got the 24/7 news cycle. You've got so many different radio shows, TV shows, all these different sort of media outlets that are reporting on footy, you know, constantly. There's more journalists in the game than ever. And, you know, you throw in social media as well, and sort of the pressure that puts on players as well. So, but, you know, that's the byproduct of having, you know, more money in the game and more money from the TV rights, and obviously a lot more of that goes to the players, so the renegotiation of the CBA right. So it's unfortunately, you know, that's sort of the situation for the players. But if you want more money and if you want a bigger slice of the pie, then you have to give up more of yourself on and off the field. And, you know, I think, you know, certainly from my perspective, I reckon social media is probably a big one that players need to really think long and hard about, and what type of, you know, impact that's having, you know, on their mental health, you know, through keyboard warriors or through comments or just through the 24/7 news cycle.
Look, listen, Brock, Carlton chose a few years ago that they were going to go to the draft and rebuild. A few standouts for me has been Wietering, Charlie, Harry, Sam Walsh, and I think young Jack Silvani is very underrated. How do you think the Blues' talent's looking?
I think it looks great at the moment. And, I mean, to anyone who understood Carlton, who watches Carlton regularly, it's no surprise. I think sometimes, like, people underestimate, you know, how many games players need to play together to actually, you know, really learn how to play with each other and to really build that cohesion. Like, I think sometimes, you know, we're in it. It's the AFL. We're in a results-based industry, right? So if you're not winning, you know, almost immediately, then those expectations or those patient expectations can go out the window. So, you know, the club seems to have a really good blend of, you know, those drafted players and then, you know, getting players recruited from other clubs like Adam Serra and George Hewitt and those types of players. So I think they've got the really good blend right, and they're able to play a bit more footy together. You know, Charlie's not injured. You know, he's been out in the park, I think, every game this year or nearly every game. So it's no surprise to see it finally click. And as I touched on before, just having a breath of fresh air or a new coach in who brings in different demands and a new system, it just all seems to be clicking for the playing group and the footy club.
Brock, a bit of nostalgia. Oh my gosh!
Spit it out, mate. What's going on?
Jesse needs my book.
I was just going to say, would you like to see your both your former teams clash off in the finals this year? Would it be a bit of a proud moment for yourself?
Oh, look, it'd just be, you know, it was a really nice moment seeing the D's win the flag last year, and you know, I think from a personal perspective, if they're both in the grand final, I'm in a no-lose situation. So I'll just have to change my jumper at the end of the game, depending on who wins. But I think it'd be a really good game for the fans, actually. I think, you know, Carlton play a really exciting brand of footy. And, you know, in my view, I still think the D's are the team to beat this year, you know, regardless of sort of recent form. But, you know, I think that would be a really good game for the fans. And I just think it's an absolute shambles that the D's and Melbourne don't play each other until, what is it, round 22?
Yes.
Which is just, I don't understand that about the schedule, right? Like, there's been, one of the common themes this year has been about, you know, low crowd numbers. So, you know, why wouldn't you get, you know, two of the best teams in the comp this year, put them out on a Friday night in the middle of the year and watch 80,000 rock up to the G? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Brock, we spoke on the show last year and we discussed your own battles and how prevalent eating disorders are with male athletes. After doing some more research on the matter, I found out that the numbers are actually increasing. This is a sad thing that only 1 in 10 males who suffer from eating disorders actually seek medical attention due to the so-called shame that's attached to it. Do you think, well, I think you pretty much answered this just before, but do you think this has got a lot to do with social media in the younger generation?
Look, I think social media is probably one thing. I think, you know, when you look at, you know, sort of how, I guess, human beings operate, we don't necessarily think in absolute terms. We think in relative terms. So, you know, social media provides this platform where we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. So I certainly think that's one aspect of it. I think the second aspect of it is that, you know, within a professional sporting environment, there's a, you know, when we used to do, I think skin folds tests are banned now, but you used to do DEXA scans, you used to do skin folds tests on a monthly basis. So, you know, there was always a bit of, you know, gentle ribbing for someone who was, you know, potentially high up in the skinnies or a bit overweight, or their body fat percentage was a bit higher than, you know, the rest of the playing group. And, you know, they might have, you know, copped a gentle ribbing from someone else, but you never really saw, you know, how those players took it. And they might have taken that home and it might have really affected them badly. But, you know, also the pressure that comes with, you know, the expectation to be at a certain weight or to be at a certain skin folds level or to be at a certain body fat percentage. You know, I think sometimes players feel the pressure, and, you know, we're all built differently. Some players can, you know, lose weight easily or maintain fitness really easy. Some other players, you know, struggle with that, you know, quite a bit. So, but at the end of the day, I've said this all along, that it's all about performance, right? So if a guy's, you know, not in the best shape, his skin folds might be a little bit more than everyone else, but if he's going out and kicking 5 or 6, you know, on a regular basis, then who cares, you know, what his body weight is, or who cares what his body fat percentage is. You know, if that works for him, then let him do that. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all strategy. So I think at the end of the day, it's all got to do with your performance. So if you're playing well and if you're a bit overweight, who cares? It's all about your performance.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, great answer, Brock. Lastly, I was going to just say, can you see yourself ever going back into footy or going to a club? Obviously, to give some of these modern-day players advice on everything that you've experienced in your time in the AFL?
Yeah, look, I do reflect on this sometimes, and I think You know, I could potentially see myself going back, you know, into a club environment or maybe a role at the AFLPA where, you know, it's in a position of welfare, or, you know, in a position where I'm helping, you know, the draftees transition into being a professional footballer, because I do have a wealth of knowledge from my experience. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things, you know, that if I had my time again, I would do differently. But unfortunately, you know, there's no such thing as a time machine, right? So I think the next best thing from that would be able to impart that wisdom, you know, onto younger players coming through and talk to them about the mistakes that I made. And, you know, if I had my time again, the things I would do differently. And, you know, just to, you know, as I touched on before, I got no one to blame but myself with a lot of the decisions that I made during my football career. And, you know, the punishment for me is, you know, I have to live with that every day, you know, for the rest of my life. And, you know, I probably cost myself, you know, at least another a year or two in my football career. And I've made peace with my decision and I've been able to forgive myself and practice empathy. But, you know, some days it's really hard, you know, that pill is really hard to swallow for me. So, I would never want anyone else to have to go through that. So if I can impart that wisdom onto, you know, to some young kid or a group of young kids coming through, and if that can help them out, then, you know, that's something I would definitely consider.
Mate, we better wrap it up there. You've been so open and honest and forthright as always. Mate, one thing I need to say, though, mate, all the best with the impending birth. Yeah. Hope it all goes well.
Let us know.
Let us know, because, like, as you heard, I had to miss a game. But anyway, it's all good. Let's hope it goes well. Then there's no issues. And as always, mate, thanks for giving up your precious time. And we really appreciate it here on Breakfast with the Blues. And as always, buddy, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues.
Yeah,
thank you, Brock.
Guys. Thanks, Brock.
Thanks, bro.
Go Blues.
There you go.
Speaks very well, doesn't
that
it?
That was probably really, really
yeah,
good.
Could have gone on and on, but yeah. It's time we've got to go for a break and a few words on our sponsors. And when we come back, we've got our great mate, David the Hyphen Reece Jones.
He'll be up and about.
He'll be up and about. Go Blues.
Go Vegas. And they will know that they've been playing
against the famous old dark blue. Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues, and with that lovely singing by Craig Bradford. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, David the Hyphen Reece Jones. Good morning, buddy, and how are we? Because we're up and about in the studio.
Yeah, we're in sunny Holwell, Tasmania at the moment.
Ooh.
And, yeah, what a lovely place. It is a bit brisk over here at the moment, to put it mildly, but very nice part of the world.
So we got a coaching gig over there, or talking gig today, mate?
Yeah. I'm going over. I've actually had one at Beauty Point last night, and I'm off to Queenstown. So I'm doing half a lap of Tasmania in a couple of days. So, yeah. So it's not too bad.
It is a beautiful place down there, Tassie, I must admit. Yes, it is a bit fresh, but it is a beautiful place.
It's cold and windy.
No, it's a beautiful place.
Reminds me of Warrnambool too much.
Go for it, mate.
But, Reece, we went and watched the game on Sunday, and yep. One guy for me that just keeps getting better and better each week, and I had a few arguments with a few people during the week that he was going to get destroyed, was Tom DeConey. I thought he absolutely outclassed Nick Nat as far as out-jumped him. When the ball hit the ground below his knees, he's clean, and he's just turning into a very good ruckman.
Yeah, he is. He's you know, I mean, Mark Pitnett being out has been a bit of a blow for us in some ways, but it's been a bonus in young DeConning being able to get that first ruck space and being able to really learn his craft, and he's getting better and better every week, and that's just coming with knowledge and how he's being played against, I suppose. All different ruckmen have got different traits and different strengths, but I think we mentioned last week he did have either a year or two ago against Nick Nat, he did reasonably well against him, so he had a little bit of form there, so he would have gone in with a bit of confidence. And yeah, but the way he does ruck and follow up his taps and, as you say, good below his knees too. So he's, he's been a real bonus this year. But I just can't wait to see the combination of Pitnett and I think that's going to worry quite a few teams coming up very shortly.
One thing that impressed me, and watching him live, was his vertical leap. Like, he was, in the centre bounces, he was sometimes a good foot higher than Nick Nat. he's just amazing.
Yeah, look, he's just a natural athlete in a lot of ways, and you know, I mean, when he first came in, I mean, he was jumping at everything, and he just had that natural bounce sort of thing, and an ability to climb up, and oh, you know, there were a couple of times I thought this kid's going to kill himself; he's going to land on his neck and break his neck or something. But yeah, he goes for it, and yeah, good on him. He's only going to get better, and you know, as a lot of other players are too.
And morning, hi, it's me. How you doing today?
Good.
I was really impressed with Matt Kennedy. His role, he battling it out in the middle when we're under the pump. His clearances and his contested possessions were just out of control. He's just stepping it up each week.
Yeah, he has. He's had a terrific year, and he's been given a bit more license this year to, you know, he's picked up as a midfielder and you know, I think GWS picked him up at, I think he was in the top 10 or so in draft picks. So he obviously had a lot of ability, and he just, I don't know, whether it's been a confidence thing or whether he's just had too many people in front of him to get a good run at it. But he just has a crack, and I think Bossy would love him and the way he's going about things. And the feeling would be mutual there. So it's worked well for Carlton in general, you know, to have him up and going. But I've always had a lot of time for him. I just think he's been played out of position a little bit in previous years, and he's, you know, he's a natural midfielder, and let him have a run at it. And he's finally getting consistent games. You know, he was sort of in and out of the team a lot, which doesn't do much for your confidence when that's happening, and you know you really haven't got much hope when that sort of happens.
He's also very strong overhead, marking wise.
Yeah, he is, and that's what I'm saying. A few times he's been put forward, you know, into a forward type role over the years. He's come out and marked the ball very, very strongly. So yeah, that's been a great attribute as well. But doing it through the midfield is more than handy, and you know, he's a bloke who hunts the ball too. So and that's probably where they fell down over the last few years, with letting Cripper do that predominantly and wanting more outside players. But I don't think he can get it enough inside players, blokes who really want to go in and hunt the ball. So yeah, it's been working well for us.
Looking ahead to tonight's clash with Geelong, there's obviously great matchups all around the ground, but the one I'm really looking forward to is obviously how Young and Wietering are going to go on Hawkins and Cameron tonight. How do you see that unfolding, Hyfe?
Well, I'm hoping the ball doesn't get down there too often.
Yeah.
And that'll be, and then that's where it's going to be won again. The midfield battle, Dangerfield was terrific last week, and you know, they've really freshened him up, so he's looking very dangerous. But yeah, it's a matter of if we can put enough pressure on through the midfield to get them bombing the ball in. Jeremy Cameron's going to be the real interesting one, because he plays very high. He's a running type player. He can get up on the wing and next minute be down at full forward. So I wouldn't, and I know people are going to cringe when I say this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Plowman gets him as he pushes up the ground a bit, because I think I'd rather have Wietering and Young staying back inside 50 and someone like Plowman sort of following him through that midfield when he does get up high. And yeah, I think it'd suit us a lot better anyway. So I don't know, it'll be interesting. It's going to be a game of tactics, and they're playing very good football at the moment. But so are we. So are we. That first quarter, geez, we had the ball camped inside our end of the ground nearly the whole quarter, and it was an amazing quarter. We just didn't really put what we should have had on the scoreboard. We should have kicked, you know, 8 or 9 goals in that first quarter. But yeah, and then they'll learn by that. But two teams in very good form, and both going to be playing finals this year, so they're the games you want to see.
They've got a pretty good distributor in Isaac Smith. Do you think we play a lockdown role on him, or a run with role?
Yeah, I don't think his form's been that great this year, and he is getting older and doesn't seem to have that burst of speed. But look, he's a good player, and he needs to be watched. But you know, I'd rather us take them on.
Yep.
Take them on to start with and get them chasing us and worrying about us. You know, I think that's the way we really need to take the game. We can't go in with the negative thoughts and I think we back our players and have a real good crack at it.
I've going back to the Dockers game. The Eagles game. We've got Harry and Charlie both kicking 5 goals each. Do you think Harry's actually going to affect Charlie's Coleman chance?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just getting better at combining. They seem to be working each other out and not getting in each other's way a bit at the moment. I think, Charlie's obviously going to play a bit higher than Harry. But it's a bonus when you've got two, you know, really good key forwards to be able to aim at when you're coming in forward. And there was one mark that Charlie took, a pack mark last week, and that was just a terrific strong mark, but it showed real signs that he's really getting confidence that his body's 100% and he can run and jump at it again. And that sort of gives me a lot of hope for the future. He's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful footballer. And Harry, I think he's just got to be a bit stronger in the way he plays. I'm sort of getting to, you know, there's a few people sort of talking about him going to ground a bit too easy, and I'm sort of getting in that camp a little bit as well, because I think, you know, it's a big strong man, be a big strong man out there and lead the way that way. Don't sort of fall over for free kicks and try and, you know, suck umpires in or whatever. But it's going to be a wonderful, 5, 6, 7, 8 years with those two down forward.
First of all, Reece, I'd like to agree with you that, because I've said before that Harry needs to toughen up. He does sometimes get pushed out of the contest a little bit too easy for a guy his size. But one thing I noticed last week watching the game is, and I think this player is very underrated, is young Jack Silvani. His work ethic to get to the next contest, to smother, to tackle, then to go into the ruck, it was great to watch.
Yeah. And I think that's when you go to the football and you see what Jack Silvani's doing out there,
yeah. You
get a much better appreciation than watching it off the television. And he just works his butt off, you know, day in, day out. We give him the Spirit of Carlton, the Past Players Award last year, and very, very well deserved. And we give that award to the player who shows the spirit of the, you know, Carlton Football Club and what it really means to him. It means a lot to him, and he's been around the club for most of his life, and he really does bleed navy blue. So that's the way he plays. But as you say, you can watch him on television and get a pretty good impression of how he goes about it. But when you're at the game, you can see how much he really tries and embodies that Carlton spirit.
And I was really moved by a moment where Cripper. He shanked a kick and Jack actually went up and it was he was getting him, and this is Jack going to our captain, just reinforcing the passion and the love of the club. That was a moving moment for me.
I missed that part, but that bit of the game. But we all make mistakes in a game of football. And I was talking to some under 16 kids last night, and I said, you're going to make mistakes, and you just got to learn by the mistakes you do make. And if you don't learn by them, you're not going to get any better. So I said, you can watch, you know, AFL or whatever, and everyone makes mistakes. So just get on with things.
I think someone who's really impressed me the last few weeks and is hitting the scoreboard a lot more, and something we've asked from him probably in the last few years, is Zach Fisher. He's playing a real sort of up-the-ground sort of role, but then really when going down forward, having an impact too.
Yeah, he is. Look, he's a classy player, and you can tell he's got a bit of a desire to learn more and become better. And he's sort of been played in different roles, in different positions and that. But he's got quality. When he does get the ball and swing onto that left foot, he can be a real danger forward, with those other small forwards down there, Botlop and Bowies and Durden and so forth. We can build a pretty potent sort of small forward line as well as our tools as well. So it's um, you know, things are looking pretty good at the moment, and, you know, Blues supporters should be excited.
Totally agree, mate. Look, I don't know why I did this, but I just looked up the weather in Melbourne for tonight's game. It's actually, at the moment, it's pouring rain. It's 9 degrees. It is supposed to stop, but then when it's 7 o'clock tonight, Melbourne time, it's supposed to rain again for the whole game. So, I'm not sure about those tall forwards. It might be just the battle of the, as we said, where we said it was going to be won in the midfield, and who's the strongest if it's that much rain there.
Yeah, look, I mean, big blokes, you don't put your tail between your legs because the game's a bit wet. You've still got to do your job, and your job is either to mark it or bring the ball to ground. And they still need to contest. Big bodies can work very well in you know, trying circumstances and heavy ground. So, you know, those big bodies are still going to be important for us. So it's important they play smart. And play a wet weather style of football too. Don't try and think you can do what you can in the dry weather. So keep it pretty simple and run straight and hard at it. That's the key to it in the wet.
I totally agree. All right, mate, we better wrap it up. All the best. Enjoy your tour of Tasmania, and I hope you have a good time. Mate, it'd probably be warmer down there than it is at Melbourne at the moment. So you've dodged a bullet. So
no, it's not.
Okay. Fair enough, mate.
I can tell you that.
All right, you'll have the look. Enjoy, and let's hope we get up. It's going to be a great game, and as always, buddy, go the Baggers.
Go the Baggers.
Go the Baggers.
Go the Mighty Blues. Thanks, boys. Guys.
See you, Reece.
See you, Reece. Enjoy. Thank you.
There you go, David Reece Jones. Love his passion.
Yep.
Look, we've only got a couple of minutes, but we will have a function coming up against the Adelaide Crows, which is a couple of weeks away, Saturday night at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Our function starts at 5. I think Bounce Down's 5:25. But prior to that, the Carlisle have got the great man, Anthony Koutafidis, who will be at the Carlisle between 3 and 5 p.m. I think it's $20 entry for the Carlisle.
Yep. And you can buy tickets at the bar.
And that gives you a free drink anyway with that $20. And then Kuta will stay and join us, WA Blues. And so all you Baggers, get down there to the Carlisle for that game. It'll be on our Facebook page. It'll be up on our website. We'll have to keep Mel and Donna away because they've been stalking Kuta the whole time he's been in Perth for the last week and a bit. Go, Mel.
He's also going to be, I mentioned it on the Masters, he's actually going to be at the Empire today.
That's correct.
And at the Whale and Owl on the 29th of July this month down here. If all those people that are lovely in the north of the river sort of areas.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Whale and Owl, 29th of July. Kuta there, $50 a head, I think.
So WA Blue Baggers, our next function, watch out on the Facebook page. Look at our website, but it's going to be at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. It'll be against the Adelaide game. And remember, Kuta's there 2 hours prior, put on by the Carlisle. And as said, he'll be joining us. So you'll be able to talk to the great man, get autographs, get pictures, do whatever. We'll have some great auction items, not auction items, raffle items, should I say. I still think I'm in function, mate. It's okay. But anyway, it's all good. Great show. And one last thing before we go. Next week, guys, is our 100th episode.
Woohoo!
So watch out for hopefully a special, special guest. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, you'll be interviewing me.
Yeah, good luck. Yes. Anyway, thanks for a great show. Always thanks to our great mate, Brock McLean.
Yeah,
great
he's
guy.
Very awesome. Well.
Could have spoke for a long time for Brock. And as always, our great mate, David the Hyphen Reece Jones. So keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always,
go ahead and
Blues.
Yes.
Oh, baggers.
Against the famous